All right, good morning. Welcome to piece six. Before I describe what we're going to do for today and tomorrow, I first want to ask you, has anybody done any mediumship work or practice work between the last class and now? Or if you have any questions or observations or anything that you'd like to bring to the fore?
I did one last weekend.
Mm-hmm. And how did we do?
I actually did very well. We touched base a little bit yesterday on this. It's a friend of my sister's, and I don't know a lot about her, so I want to do it because I just, no input would be better for me of knowing anything about her family.
Right.
And of course, everybody supports, oh yeah, that's really nice, you're going to these classes. But I really didn't realize how they really didn't realize what these classes would do for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the reading. Things were, you know, her grandfather on her father's side come through, her grandmother on her mother's side come through.
So you used the pattern successfully.
Yeah.
Good.
And it was very emotional. I mean, but this grandmother had a lot of emotions that I was feeling very, very strongly that I had to, okay, lady, I'm leaving you. If you don't stop, I'm out of here, you know, because she was bringing it, and I was feeling the emotions, and my eyes actually was watering up, and I was like, okay, let's stop this emotions, because these two were, I didn't realize until after it was over with, she just boo-hooed, and she says, I was so close to my grandmother, and it's just, I mean, and you could, and I could see there was such a emotional connection.
Were you able to detach from it?
Yeah, I
okay,
just
good.
Said we're gonna stop the emotions. You're welcome to have it, but I'm not gonna feel this.
Okay. Did you push higher into the channel or just?
Oh yeah, I'm shooting. Let me up here because
good.
I can't let this go.
Very good.
And I, you know, actually had done this to myself, cut myself off several times with because I knew I was connecting more here and here, so I kept.
So you chopped the third eye.
Why are you throwing your hand up? I said, because I had to cut, because I'm feeling the emotions,
mm-hmm.
and I had to cut off.
Good
there
for you.
And go back up. So, I mean, after it was over with, and we talked about this, it's, she was very nervous.
And that would also be something you would pick up also, that you'd have to cut off.
Yeah, well, I'm talking emotionally when it was all over with.
Right.
She was supposed to stay the night at the house.
Mm-hmm.
She did not want to stay at the house.
Do you think perhaps that she was like brought in closer with her grandmother and they were in each other's space and it kind of threw her off a little bit?
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, you said when I spoke with you about it that the reason she gave for not wanting to stay at the house was because she was really afraid because it really felt spooky.
Yeah, she said she didn't really understand what the classes was doing.
Right.
She, oh yeah, you're going to psychic development class and mediumship. But she says, I could appreciate what you were doing and the interest and the enthusiasm you had, but when you actually read me,
it dawned
I
on
realized,
what you were doing.
What the heck did he just do? And how did he do that?
Right.
And it scared her because I think we were talking about this last night, Karen and I, that she maybe thought there was ghosts all around her, you know, that
mm-hmm.
all these dead people had come and were hovering. And so I needed to learn how to.
One of the things I'd like to kind of suggest for that, for any client that may bring that issue up, is draw their attention to the fact, well, before this happened, were you affected by them before? So why should you be affected by them now?
Yeah.
We also have a couple of other things that need to get addressed in accordance with that. First, let's look at this whole concept that when you open a real solid channel for mediumship, you become like a beacon. It's like a light is being shown on the other planes, and any spirits who want to get information through to somebody on this plane are going to come.
So are all the people on the other side that are looking for a gas station for energy.
Mm-hmm. So this is one good reason for, if you're going to do mediumship out of your home, designate one room and make sure that you clear that room, that you call your archangels in before you do your session.
We call that sealing the room.
Right? And that when you're done, you thank your archangels and dismiss them, and that you re-clear the room. The same, we're going to show you some clearing techniques again later on today, to, but you learned one all the way back in I think it was psychic development level 3, and that will suffice with salt and water or sage. Clear the room. Bells, wind chimes will help to disturb spirit energies and get them to leave, to move on. But that room that you're designating as your room you're going to work in, you don't want that room to be a place where spirits constantly hang out, because even the lay person is going to feel that and be uncomfortable with that.
You got to do a psychic scrub down every time you finish.
That's good. I like that. Scrub down.
Yeah.
But y'all do a technique on your tapes that you haven't taught here that I found really works. Is the candle, the white candle, lighting it facing the east.
Right.
Calling, you know, the archangel, and then
at the end you snuff
touch
the candle.
It and you know, touch the candle at the end and leave it lit.
Now the only problem with that, Carl, that's a technique. What he's talking about is the same calling the archangels that we've learned over the last few sessions. But in each corner, when you're calling in the archangel, you light a candle to represent that archangel, and then at the end of your session, you snuff the candle as you say, you know, thank you to the archangel and you know, go in peace. But that usage of candles may turn some of your clients off.
Also realize that the candle itself is a physical accoutrement that in itself, for the most part, has no power. It represents a physical representation to you of the archangel's presence.
Yeah, that's what I was saying helped me.
Yes.
By and large, the more simple you keep your session with your client, the more comfortable your client is going to be. So you're calling in your archangels, you're doing your yod-heh-vod-heh to clear yourself. All that really should be done before you ever see your client.
I mean, I can look at somebody who's fairly reputable, who's a medium, who if you visit their place, the place is like filled with icons of spirits, of archangels, of deities, all these kinds of things, and candles and all that. And the person that was doing the work, phenomenal in the way they do the work. But suppose you're a Jewish person or agnostic person or Native American person, and you walk in and you see all this Catholicism around, which is, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's going to turn you off because it's not your tradition. You're going to kind of wonder, you know, where this person's coming from.
Now, if you personally feel very strongly about that and that's your area of safety and that's the way you want to work, I would never say don't do that. Do it. But realize that by doing that, you will represent yourself as someone who's a little bit mysterious and mystical and otherworldly, and you're going to limit the client base that you're going to attract.
And you're going to connect yourself to the religion,
yeah,
and that will become part of your reputation.
You become more of a spiritualist than the spirit communicator. There is a difference. You know, the spirit communicator or medium that we are training is somebody who really can call their protections, open their channel, and slip from layperson to medium that fast and do their reading and then close it down, i.e. we're trying to bring this as close to normalcy as we can. John and I both firmly believe that this is tomorrow's science.
It's just the only difference is it's not measured or substantiated. And
yes,
the computer program we were talking about before, about the biofeedback, that's one small piece that can substantiate psychic, mental, and intuitive energy.
What's
on
the name
a screen?
Of that again?
Wild Divine.
Wild Divine is something by, do we have an author on that?
No, I can get that
I
later.
I don't remember, but the name of it is Wild Divine. It's being recommended by Deepak Chopra, and it is a good tool for developing your psychic abilities. It's a game, actually.
It's roughly children. Also about $200.
Yeah. But if you're interested in a psychic aid, use it. It's a good aid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But
now,
back to the accoutrements, keep it as simple as you possibly can.
Saying it's true, less is more.
Yeah,
less
remember,
is more.
You know,
your dress should also reflect that, too.
But again, it's up to you. If you are the person who wants to mesmerize or impress because you're different, well, go ahead and wear a priest's robe, you know?
But also, that also means that ego issues are going to become part of what you're doing. You've got to be very, very careful.
I'll shave my leg.
I heard that.
Well, I'm not going to go there, Javier.
I'm neither shaved, neither am I.
The other thing that's really important, though, that Carl brought out is that, you know, after your client is gone, yes, we know, we learned last time, send your archangels away, thank your guides, but clear your space, because otherwise there's a good possibility that nobody's going to sleep well at your house, at least not without getting all kinds of information from Grandma and Sister Sue and maybe even a few people you don't know, okay? Likewise, if you do a channeling or mediumship session out somewhere and you leave, it really would be a nice thing to clear the room where you were before you leave, just so that the, you know, hotel or the person's home isn't gathering spirits for that next couple of days. Eventually they would disperse if they're not being listened to, but they could definitely be hanging around there making people feel uncomfortable if they're sensitive. Likewise, when you leave a channeling or mediumship session yourself, you must shut your channel down. Must. Because remember, your channel is a beacon. And if you don't want to have every spirit that belongs to every person you passed knocking on your door and say, hey, I have a lesson, I have a message for Marlene. Here, will you give this to her? Do you want to be nothing more than a telephone operator in your day-to-day life? So you have to be able to turn that channel off and on.
It's much the same way as after you've had a phone call and you don't hang up the phone. Nobody else can get through, and that one person of that one situation has a constant line to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, another point that Carl indirectly brought up just now. He had a friend that he's been talking about his psychic development in his mediumship classes, and he's been gung-ho, he's been all excited. And so he had the opportunity to read the friend and did a great job. She went home because she was very uncomfortable. Carl, have you had a chance to speak with her since? How is she doing now?
She's doing good. I think it just scared her because she accepted it, but I don't know that she really believed it.
My mm-hmm. next question, how's your relationship with her doing?
It's doing good. I mean, she...
It has changed, and you know that.
Yeah, she watches her P's and it's like she's nervous around me, like, I don't want to say nothing to you, you know? And it's like, it's okay. I mean, you know, I'm not going to tap into your space because I don't belong there unless you're in my space and we'll share it.
And that leads me into this other thing we need to really draw your attention to. There's an old saying that a prophet is not a prophet in his hometown. If you want to keep your friends and your family and have them relate to you the same way they do now, if you cherish those relationships, then you really shouldn't be doing this stuff for them.
And in essence, you really do have an aid in that respect, because if you tell your family what you're doing, what do they usually say? It's not something they can accept. It's like, yeah, you can't do that. You're the same old Carl we knew. And they're going to try to keep you in that position, which, relative to your family, is probably a better thing.
Yeah. What did you just get done saying? This girl you did this wonderful reading for now says, you know, I don't know if that was real or not. She knows it was real. But in order to protect her relationship with you and to get things back into a real-world orientation that she can accept, she has to say, well, I'm not really sure Carl could do this. And you should not take offense at that, because that may be the very thing that preserves your relationship mm-hmm. with her.
Yeah, no, everybody's going to have their own feelings about what it is, and that's fine. I don't have any.
Yeah, but you understand where we're coming from. It is a very rare friend or relative who can accept you as a psychic and or medium and not alter their relationship with you. And you really need to approach those things very carefully, or along the way you could lose some people that you really love and care about.
And you will.
And you will.
Yeah, and she has told people. And so now when I go home this weekend, I have a line of people.
But do realize they're not your friends. They're connections
distant. There's a lot of my family that she talked to. And I said, I really don't want to. Good. I would rather do someone I don't know at all. because, and I tell my niece and my mother and all that, you know.
Then you don't have to watch what you say.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of what you're bringing in.
Yeah, and you know, if you're working with strangers, you know, you have now got a lot of other practicing students here.
Send them to them.
Send them to them. And they can all work via the telephone or online.
I'm glad you said that.
And it's great practice.
Because you do it online, and y'all do it online.
Yes.
And you are more than welcome to do those practice sessions in Star Trials chat room. Just make sure it's not on a Thursday at 10 o'clock, because that's when we do our
online
our teaching chat.
Because we kind of was questioning this last night.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on the phone, is it you just go into your channel mode, you do all the same things you would normally
do. Exactly like doing it in
and
person.
And you're on the phone, or even through emails, mm-hmm. or chat room, I guess, would be the better way to do it.
You do all the same things that you do. The only difference is that your rapport in relating in information is a little bit different. With the phone, it's not really, because it's electromagnetic. It's like the person sitting there. On the chat room, it's electromagnetic, but there's not as much connection. You also have less of a possibility on the chat room to link in empathically.
Exactly. I think it's great practice.
So it forces you to use your channel to reach for the information.
Of course, we do know there are some people who are perfectly capable of using their empathic skills to link into a computer. Mm-hmm. So it is possible, you know, but it's less likely.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, we just, you know, because it really is, family is the one people that we can practice with and see where we're at, because it's hard to just walk up to people and say, hey,
I see a dead person next to you.
You know, what? You know.
Now, the one thing good about practicing with one or two people in the family or who are friends from the time you're a beginner all the way up is that if you've practiced with them all along, they see your skill gradually developing.
And they're accepting
and
it little by little.
Right. But if you just suddenly launch yourself on them as a full-fledged medium, which is what you did to this young woman, it's like, ooh, who is Carl? This is not the man I thought I knew.
Yeah, I mean, but in the same breath, doing that with her, she did share it with a lot of people.
Right.
And it got the word out that now mm-hmm. there's other people say, well, let you know, if this will work for you, let me just see what he mm-hmm. can do for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it has opened up a new door for me to be able to work with people I don't know anything about.
Exactly.
So,
sure.
And you know, every situation in itself is different. So, you know, you're going to need to gauge for yourself, do you feel that your family and friends can handle it, or is it something you want to keep separate from that? But just be aware that that can be a danger.
Okay. Also, too, with the family situation, the issue of ego and identity is a much bigger issue.
I can feel that, and that's
because I don't blame you. I wouldn't want you to go there. I don't want to be there either. But the point is, your family relates to you in a specific way. There is nothing wrong with you growing and then attempting to get your family to go along with the growth. But if what you're growing within yourself is something that's sort of tenuous in the beginning, it's very, very hard to keep your balance, to keep your objectivity, if I can use that word, and keep yourself in a space where you want to deal with them as an objective or a person that you don't know, but yet there are still those emotional issues of rapport underneath. You don't know what kind of, for lack of better words, quote-unquote, belonging issues you may have relative to the family, and how much are you going to temper what it is you say so you don't risk the lack of belonging to the family.
Yeah.
Good point. Let's take just a short break, and we'll be back in a moment.
Okay, so where we have arrived at with this is that if you're going to do work with your relatives, that's all well and good. But please don't use it as a gauge for your abilities or disabilities, because there are very strong emotional undercurrents that will interfere on their part and on your part. And if you do it with friends and relatives, it has to change your relationship with them, because you're entering a dimension that most of them are not familiar with, and as a general rule, they're fearful with. So there's going to be times down the road where after you've done this with relatives, they're going to think twice about how they're going to be with you, say things to you, bring up issues, because they're going to be on some level a little bit afraid of what it is you might or might not know. Okay, Javier.
I have a question. Usually when people see you, they thinking like, okay, I'm going to go to you to see if you can solve my life and help my, with all my problems.
Right.
They're not thinking so much about, in my case, I'm talking about in my case, of mediumship. Okay, I'm going to connect with somebody who just crossed over.
Right.
They go to you and say, listen, I have a lot of problems, you know, I don't know, could you do some cleaning or some, you know, that's the stuff that I encounter a lot. How do you deal with that? I mean,
this is part of what we're dealing with this weekend. Mm-hmm. Has to do with clearing space, person, etc.
Okay, alright.
That's why this particular segment of our mediumship program is called Refinement of Skills
and Healing.
And Healing.
See, you're tapping right into where we're going this next 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So that by ask the same question at the end tomorrow if you need to, if we haven't covered it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I just want to go over what we're going to be covering. I think it's probably a good time. First, we want to hit clearing, and that's clearing yourself, your environment, clearing people. There are different, let's say, patterns, not different rules, but different patterns for clearing different people, situations, objects. We're going to review identification as spirit, message termination. We also want to go back and do more platform work in terms of doing our practice and doing mediumship for each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to do dyad work again, which this time it's going to be maximum about 13 minutes each with 2 minutes worth of a summary for each other, and then we're going to switch. Okay. We're also going to do something called billets, which is a lot of fun. I don't know if you remember Ed McMahon on the Johnny Carson show and the amazing whatever his name is with the envelope on the head. Yeah.
Karnak,
thank you. Mm-hmm. And we're going to play with that a little bit. And you're probably going to be very surprised at how accurate you can be with just tuning in to the object or the vibration of what's there. Okay? Day two. Now, mind you, these materials will not necessarily be covered in the order I'm laying them out, because as the subject comes up, we want to go with the subject because it's appropriate for what we're dealing with at the time. So we may mix dealing with these issues. Coming back tomorrow, I want to start with a meditation, and we'll do questions on relevant experiences. And then we also are going to take care of something called spirit or entity attachment, which is extremely important relative to you finishing with a session or looking at clients and who or what they bring into the session with them and why, how to deal with it, how to help them with it, how to either clear spirit or strengthen spirit depending on what's desired there. Then we'll also look at what's called soul retrieval. There are spirits and entities on the other side that leave this world in an emotional and a mental space that is really not helpful or conducive to any kind of growth. And sometimes those mindsets or foci are situations which keep them in a situation in almost like a mind lock or a spirit lock, where they're stuck on one level and can't move past. In bringing the spirit in, addressing the spirit, and then focusing on the positive aspects of the life or lives that they've had here, it has a tendency of changing their focus to the more positive side and helping them to move past whatever it is their construct has restricted them to. After that, we're going to do a meditation to clear, protect, and detach spirits from people and places. When I say places, everybody's driven along the road and seen a little cross where somebody has died there. Well, in any intense emotional experience, the physical area that the occurrence is in is always going to be an area that pulls energy or vibration that's relative to the experience that occurred there. The simple case, in fact, what happens when you have a planet moving through the universe, literally it has a magnetic field and it attracts like bodies to it. Well, in the same sense, if you have, for example, an accident on the side of the road, you gather all the people to deal with the accident, and depending on how traumatic it is, there's an emotional attachment or energy that's consistent now with that area. So it means that every time somebody passes, being as psychic as we are, we're going to feel it. So there's going to be other things, other issues, other occurrences through the magnetic attraction that's going to occur there. So it means generally when there's an accident in one place and the energy is not cleared, there are always more because of the energy attraction and the focus. You move into the area, you change focus because of the intensity of the area. After that, we'll do our questions, comments, our certificates, and then we'll close. Any questions? Cool. Done. See you next time.
Yeah, that was cool.
See that? You got it all. Just like that. All right. I think what I'd like to do right now is I'd like to start talking about clearing, which is probably the most important thing out of anything. The whole object of what you're doing, what we're doing, with any of the spirit communication or mediumship work is actually clearing. Whether you're clearing the space, whether you're clearing yourself, whether you're clearing your client of emotional issues, mental issues, attachments, it's always a process of clearing, refining, raising the vibration. See, we are in a process now over thousands of years where we've already done the involution thing, which means bringing everything into matter, everything working because of gravity, becoming denser, becoming more, let's just say, what do you call it, detailed or more discriminate. We are on the other side of the evolution now, where we are trying to let go or put back to the universe, into unity, all the parts that have been coagulated together and now defining us as individuals. We are now focusing on what it is that connects us together with everyone else, decreasing our individuality. Any kind of clearing is basically an evolutionary kind of focus. Volution means action. Involution means action in, so bringing spirit or energy into matter. Evolution means taking spirit or taking spiritualizing matter. So we're attempting to expand, to clear, to uncomplicate, to simplify everything that we're doing here. So everything has to do with clearing. You, granted, whenever you only have, say, for example, one thought to think of, isn't your mind a lot more clear than if you have six different things that are rushing through your mind? Okay? In the same sense, clearing does the same thing. It gives you a sense of, let's get rid of the energies that don't apply to what we're working at and look at the ones that are underneath and strengthen them so we can do what we've decided or intended to do. Okay? So how can we do this? We can clear a space. We can clear ourselves. We can clear clients, people, animals, situations, areas. You can clear anything you want. You're in actually attempting to clear or to raise the vibration of everything and everyone that you touch. Now, what's the first thing that you need to do in order to do this in a clean fashion?
Clear yourself.
Clear yourself, exactly. So how are ways that we are going to clear ourselves? You know them. Put them out there.
Salt and white light.
Salt, white light. What else?
Yeah, do the salt, the white light, the meditation.
Meditation, good. What else?
The bubble. I'm a big bubble believer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I mean, I'm constantly 3 deep breaths and blow it around me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially out there, because I find myself, when you talk about the crosses, it's amazing because I find myself before. There's down my road, it's a long country road, crosses mm-hmm. everywhere. And the eeriness and the just sometimes the heart flutters.
Yes.
Sure, as you're driving on the road, you can certainly be
you're driving
into
through it.
The feelings,
yeah.
The emotional patterns of somebody who's been there before, even alive and upset about something. Even
yeah, I mean,
traffic,
and you see the attention and detail people put on these crosses.
Yes.
And then you're saying the energy. But yeah, they're bringing it there every holiday.
They're reinforcing
that energy. Now with the bubble, I drive down my road with and actually find myself talking to dead people that I know a clear mind and no anxiety, no heart flutters, no nothing. So the
So it's a good clearing. It's
a good clearing for me.
Right. Now the mechanism of that bubble. Could you describe to me how it works? Let's just say, sort of like in a quantum physics or in kind of a physics to terms. No, I'm talking about in physical terms, in scientific terms, if you could, as best you can. What do you think's happening?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure that I know what's happening. As far as I am drawing in this bright white light into my heart. And when it is coming out and I'm blowing it out, and it's almost like a smoky form. It just pushes to the edge. And then I just feel this total clear. And the fog's outside of this at this point. I don't know emotionally what that, or physically what that is doing. But I envision, and it's there. I mean, it's just it's there. I'm the boy in the bubble, and I don't know I don't know what else to call it.
That's okay. Anybody else got any ideas about how that happens? Because I have ideas about how I think I would describe it, but I want to see what you guys might have. What you actually think has happened. Because if you can think of it almost in physical terms, it'll strengthen your visualization, your understanding of what you're actually doing.
I've been watching what the bleep every day or twice a day until I really understand. And even though perhaps I can't grasp it, I know that if my intentionality is to create it and put it there, then at least for a period of time, it's there.
Right.
And so it's something that's bouncing things off. Those are not quite reaching me. I've created a barrier. Mm-hmm. Although I don't find it keeps everything out.
Okay.
I can't put all my hopes in my bubble.
Okay.
Because something will sneak through, but because it's here, it's there.
And the fact that you said you can't keep everything out is important because it's part of the mechanism.
Okay.
Okay? You going to say?
For me, it's kind of like your white light is bringing in all of the positive ions and pushing out all the negative ones down to the ground. I see little white plus signs coming in and I see black negative signs.
Okay, now what do those positive or negative signs or positive or negative represent?
That's also a different exercise he's referring to. I just want to draw that
everyone's
attention. But that's okay. It's just it's.
But I still want you to kind of see, can you describe what the positive is, what the negative is, in terms of something like an energy structure? If you can't, that's okay. All right.
It's just kind of like changing the molecules within yourself. I think that's as close as I can get. It's just taking everything that's negative and taking it out and shielding yourself with positive that nothing can penetrate.
Okay. The way I see it is as I build this bubble within myself, the reason I start within the heart when I do the white light exercise and I push out, okay, because you got to start in the smallest part of the room, so to speak. Just as a small example, if you're a small child and you're in a room that's totally strewn with toys, and mama's just come in and says, clean up, and you look at like thousands of toys all over the place, where do you start? You start in a little circle in the center, and you work your way out, don't you? That way, at least you have control and you have a place to work from. So what are you doing? You're clearing a space to work from. Now what I see is that white light, yes it is an energy, but I see that energy created almost like a grid or like the screen you would find in a window. And the screen is designed to keep out certain size and certain type bugs, dirt, issues, whatever you want to call them. But the screen itself, I see that screen as made of the white light. So as I'm pushing the screen out, it's not just a screen, it's my energy and the intensity of my energy as a screen, which I have programmed that these are the things, the intensity, the type, the issues that I want to keep out, but the way I'm keeping them out is I am emanating out such a strong energy that these things cannot, I don't want to say penetrate, but even approach, because my magnetic field of generating is so strong as to overcome any force that might come at me. the things that you were saying before, there are certain things that you can't keep out. Those are the things that Luke says to Yoda, what's in the cave? Only what you bring in with you. You can't get rid of the things that you have internally as an emotional or psychological issue. But you can push out the things that are attracted to that so you can see that issue clearly without the confusion and the interplay between the other issues that attract to it. Mm-hmm. So there's this bright white screen that I push out, and all the things that are not me that I'm attracting from the outside that reflect me, I am emanating out, so my energy field becomes wide enough so I now have a nice clean space to work inside. And the only thing in my space is the thing that either I emotionally believe about myself or the things that I fear or I connect to outside of myself. Because remember, any protection that you put out, that protection is only as good as what you do or don't let in. So if you're fearful of someone or something, your protection is not going to do much good at all, because that fear will pull the person or situation into you. So your focus shouldn't be what's out here. Your focus should be what's in here, and then just expand yourself out in the screen. So it becomes almost like this white light filter. And it's not exactly a barrier, not like a plasticine bubble, like, I don't want to use his name on camera. but it's the boy in the bubble kind of a thing. It's kind of like there's this plastic thing and nothing can get in, and you're hermetically sealed. No germs, no nothing. I mean, that's unreal. That's unrealistic.
It's also unhealthy.
And unhealthy, because as you push this out, what happens over time is if you're not assaulted by things, you lose your ability to defend against them. So when the barriers go down, you're really in big trouble. Mm-hmm.
So when I'm doing it, I say that people come, I still like channel almost. Mm-hmm. What does that do? I mean, because obviously I'm not keeping everything out, and I don't think that, I think maybe I'm just doing the positive around me. And
your protection is not a keeping out. Your protection is an emanating out.
And it ends up, remember, when you push out that bubble is spherical. And that means it's a curve. The protection is curved. So anything which is coming at you will deflect.
Deflects off.
Okay? It's not a wall. It's a deflection. It's very different. A deflection takes no energy at all. A wall takes enormous energy.
And think also of that wall. Hold an egg in your hand. You break the egg on the side. Breaks very easily. What happens when you try to literally squeeze an egg? It is unbelievably strong.
See, spherical protection is important. Comment about what John was saying about taking down the protection if you've never had it, or if you've protected too long without allowing yourself to interact. A very close girlfriend of mine had a young child that she constantly protected from the day the baby was born. That baby went to school and stood in the middle of the hall at 5 and 6 years old and became almost autistic. Could not function.
Nothing got in.
When mommy wasn't there. Couldn't function. So be very cautious about overprotection as well.
That's really true. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah. And I can't emphasize enough that the protection is not to keep something out. It is to project yourself further and stronger.
Yeah.
And I see that as a good, strong sense of your spirituality is better than any defense of building walls, fences, or bubbles.
And this is where Lisa's description is so important. You know, we've got two different protections that we were just talking about. Lisa talking about bringing in pluses and with white light and pushing out and grounding negatives with the, you know, dark old energy. She's not really talking about protection at all. She's talking about super energizing herself and getting rid of her negative emotions.
This is what a cell does. A cell gets rid of the waste products, the negative energies,
correct,
and pulls in the nutrients, the positive energies.
And your very, very, very best protection is your physical and emotional health and your very high energy level. That's your best protection. Okay? That makes for a real strong spiritual immune system. That's innate. That becomes part of you. The next best protection is your energy balloon, your bubble. And when that gets pushed out in that spherical form, intensify it with a blue edge, by the way, blue is the most strong, the strongest color. But what that spherical form does is it is wonderfully protective, but it shouldn't be kept around you 24 hours a day. It should be selected. Put it out there when you need it. Pull it back in when you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
I just, you just answered my question when you said, you know, the blue balloon, because I do the white light, and on top of that, I throw in the blue balloon, you know, the blue balloon of light surrounding the white light.
Do you know why the blue is so powerful?
No, I mean, that was...
The blue itself represents your third chakra, the will center.
Mm-hmm.
It's your power. So what are we doing when we emanate? You're emanating your energy out, and then you're lacing it with your power. That's what the protection is consistent of. The point I want to make, and is so, so important, is that to resist something gives it power. When you put protection in place, you're not protecting to resist something. You're protecting to strengthen, enhance something. Much, much better focus. No fear involved. Right. When should we clear?
All the time.
All the time? Okay.
24 hours.
If you were to put it in a pattern, what times of the day would you suggest?
When will you have the best results, is what John's asking. You can clear any time.
Mm-hmm.
When will you have the best results?
Is that the 6-12?
Yes. Mm-hmm. At the time that we change from dawn, from night to dawn, from dusk to night, the darkest time where it becomes more dark, less dark, and the brightest time during the day where it becomes starts to become less, the changing points of the light of the day. And that's, if you look at that in terms of the day, that's roughly, like Lisa says, every 6 hours. If you look at that in terms of the year, you can look at that as the winter and summer solstice, because the summer solstice is the time when the light is the longest, and then it switches to become diminishing in amount of light. The winter solstice is when it arrives at a point where the light is the least amount and the dark is the most amount, and again, changes. The other time is when you reach high noon, where the sun is at the highest, brightest point, and then it changes to diminishing in light. And then you look at the midnight, where it's the least amount of light and moves toward the beginning of new light. So it's any time there is a change in the energy structure that you are in or participating in, that's the time you need to do your protections, because you're using the change of the natural flow of things as a powering agent. And like Javier says, any time that you want to. So are you feeling threatened at some time, or feel like this is not a comfortable place for me? Then do a protection. It'll clear you. It'll focus you. It'll make you much more, let's just say, balanced in what you need to be in the environment that you're working in. Okay? Any other ways that we can think of?
Hug a tree.
Okay, good way to clear. And what does that do?
To hug a tree?
Mm-hmm.
Brings you back to nature. It clears, it centers.
Mm-hmm.
Like laying on the ground does.
Okay, and how does that happen?
No trick questions.
it's not a trick question. If you have somebody or some situation, well, let's see if I can put it this way. I'll use my old train analogy. You're standing on a platform in a train station, and a train at 60 miles an hour goes through and whizzes by. What happens to you physically? Isn't there a suction? Isn't there a pull? Isn't there something that pulls you along with it? Okay. Now think of yourself as hugging the tree. The tree's energy is so slow that when you hug the tree, it literally pulls you into its space, and by induction, you slow down.
Or another way of looking at that is resonance. You match your resonance, your vibration, to that of the tree.
You slow your vibration down. In the same sense, when you lay on the ground, what happens? The ground vibration is so slow. You are putting yourself in the space of the tree and allowing it to dictate the speed and the intensity with which your energy moves.
Is that anywhere there? I mean, like in the city, would the ground be a different vibration than in the country?
Probably, but not much to speak of, unless there's been a cross there, an accident there, or some circumstance on that ground. And that's not a place you want to do that.
Okay.
Additionally, too, wherever there's been an accident, that also means that the earth and its natural flow, over time, if it's not added to, will naturally
drive somewhere, and you are really feeling uncomfortable and unhappy and blocked in your life, you're going to be dealing with traffic that's heavy and is blocking you. If you want to change that pattern, put on some music in your vehicle that is very calming, mm-hmm. soothing, relaxing, laid back. And the first thing you know, you're going to have lots of space around you. You're not in traffic. Nobody's cutting you off. So you're altering your vibration.
Also, the music, yes, that's one way you can do it. But I play jazz. I play moving music when I drive. And what happens with me is I'll put my headspace into the music and moving. And as I emanate, everything around me becomes moving. So
yeah,
there's no longer traffic, no longer blockages. It's different.
Just, you know, jazz, got to understand, jazz is also quiet music. It's
mm-hmm. Well, it calms
right.
my spirit because it's something I resonate
to. What I would suggest you don't put on is rap.
Metallica. It draws that kind of vibration.
It'll draw that vibration. Mm-hmm.
And it means that you attract
yes.
And obviously, regardless of the fast or slow or the speed of the music, if you put music on that makes you feel happy and up and relaxed, then you're going to be in nice, flowing, happy, relaxed traffic.
Because the traffic around you will tune into you unconsciously through induction.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go into a space and you're clearing a space, what are you doing? You first meditated, haven't you? Because you need to clear yourself first. And now you're nice and calm. So that means that as you walk into a space, your calm meditative vibration must be strong enough to overcome the chaos that's in the environment in order to calm it down. So can it work the other way around? Can you meditate in a particular way and then walk into a space that's so chaotic that you can't do it, and you become overcome with the vibration of the space? Yes. So this means that for you, it is extremely important that whenever you meditate first, you focus yourself, you ground yourself, you take that with you into the vibration, and then you emanate. And that's what's going to cause the environment around you to calm down by induction. One of the examples Sandy had used in the past is you're standing on a line in the supermarket and you're nice and calm, you're focused, you're meditative, and there's the mom and the kid up there screaming and stuff going on. What do? You don't pay attention to the argument, what's going on, and kind of take sides or try to figure out. No, you just go inside, you feel nice and calm, and you just push that out. And what happens is those two people, because they're not paying attention and they're not conscious of what's going on in the space around them, you now overcome whatever chaotic vibration was in that space with a calm, meditative environment. And now through induction again, like they were affected originally through the chaos and it threw them into a tantrum, your vibration overcomes the area, and now they're overcome by the calm that you emanate into the area.
Realize what else John is saying here that you might not be picking up. If there are 10 people online, as your wave of calm goes out, it will set up a resonance that calms the person next to you and the person next to them and the person next to them. And as each person enters that field of resonance, it becomes stronger and more powerful as it moves to connect mm-hmm. with the next person. So by the time it gets to the mom and the kid screaming up at the head of the line, they really have no choice except to calm down or leave.
Let's look at the other side of that. Somebody who's politically minded stands on a soapbox start shouting about inequalities or whatever, attract a few people. They get excited. The speaker gets excited. It attracts more people. It works the other way also. That's induction. Now, I also want to bring your attention to something else, and I don't know where this came from, but when you think about using your vibration to calm and to relax, think of what a hypnotist does. It may not be the watch the gleaming light or the count to one to two. It's not the object or the method that they use. It's their vibration and their sense of energy that you are allowing yourself to be overcome by. And that person who is literally hypnotizing you is in a nice, relaxed, focused, grounded space that you allow yourself to identify. This is why they say no person can be hypnotized unless they want to be, because you have to choose to allow yourself to be affected by the environment of people around you. So you are always, always in control. Even the child and the mother in that supermarket who are reacting to the chaos, if they're really enjoying the energy, the chaos, and the nonsense it's producing, you may not be able to affect them.
They may decide to leave because they don't want calm and the atmosphere got too calm.
Mm-hmm. The payoff for them may be stronger than what you're offering.
Right.
Okay, so induction, you got to look at the energy, and I'm sorry to say, you have to look at what's stronger. And that's not really something you can know. All you can do is put out your energy in the best, calmest, strongest, most grounded fashion that you can and watch the reaction. And there'll be situations where if you're that kind of person and you're grounded, meditated, and you're really focused, and you come up against that person in the soapbox with a couple of people around and they're getting agitated and going political, and you try to emanate their payoff for what they're doing may be a lot greater than going with the calmness and the meditation that you're trying to emanate. So there are some situations which you are not going to be able to overcome, and you have to admit it to yourself. Never, never, never walk into a situation like that and say, I'm going to fix it. Ego. All right? You put out what you can, you do what you can, you watch the reactions, and if the seeds you drop are not taken, you turn around and walk away. Turn the other cheek, is what they say. When they say turn the other cheek, they don't mean give it to the person to hit. That means turn around and walk away.
Also, what John is kind of talking around here too, applying this to your mediumship, especially if you're going to do your mediumship work outside of your home or your personal environment, you must be able to control the environment that you're in.
Yes. It has to be your environment.
You will not be, you can go into somebody else's home, you can get there early, you can clear the space, you can call in your archangels, you can do your centering, your God exercise, the Yod Heh Vav Heh exercise to raise your consciousness. You can do all of those things and be all ready for your group that's coming in. But, and that'll ensure, by the way, that the group of people or the person that you're going to read can't really bring anything negative in with them in terms of a malicious entity or spirit attached. However, it's not going to change whether or not that person is simply an obnoxious, irritable person who's out to drain your energy. So you have to control the environment. Are you going to play into the emotional discordance of the person or the group, or are you going to take control and generate the atmosphere which is conducive to you being able to do a good reading?
We're also back to that other, let's just say, focus, is that if someone comes into your environment and they are of that chaotic or malicious kind of energy, and your attempt to calm and work with it meets resistance, so that person persists in being as chaotic and as blocking, or whatever you want to call it, as they wish, this is why you have the right to terminate the reading just as much as they do. Because why? In no way should you allow yourself to subject yourself to that kind of an energy because you feel it's what you have to do. You have to look out for your well-being. You don't walk into a situation where the energy that is not working positively or congruently with your focus, you don't want to be there. Because there are places, people, situations in the world where that energy is needed for other people to coagulate to the chaos, to learn things about themselves. And if you continue to attempt to overcome that chaotic energy in kind of a different focus, you may literally be depriving another person or situation of the lesson that they need of operating through the chaos. Okay, so who are you to dictate whether a situation should be less or more than it is? Yes. Okay, makes sense? So what I'm saying then is, like the old Chinese philosophy, choose your battles.
Yes.
And watch your reactions. And if what you're doing in the best you know how and in the most honest and truest form that you can is not having an effect, don't beat yourself up. Don't pursue it. Walk away. Look for a better place to put the energy and have an effect.
Don't be afraid to leave. Cut your losses. Know what battles to fight.
Now, why are we clearing? Because when we clear, we create our own space. And when we relax, we meditate, we create our own space, a channel opens naturally. We don't have to reach.
Isn't that amazing?
Because the act of creating your own God self space and balance and grounded connects down, connects up, becomes that pillar of white light, and you become the energy itself. It's a natural flow of things.
And remember John's principle of the clean step. Let's hear it, John.
Okay. You ever notice that if you work in an environment with people, I hate to say it this way, but are slobs, you clear a surface and every time, dollars to donuts, you'll find somebody piles their stuff in your clear space.
Yep.
Every time. It's kind of like the dog do on your shoe. You become the step that receives the dog do that somebody rubs off, all right? So, like you said, when do you clear? All the time.
Right.
So if you're working in an environment with a bunch of slobs, you are relegated to clearing all the time. Because every time you clear a space to feel good, somebody's going to pile something in it. There are people that are in chaotic mind states that need the clutter that reinforces the chaos. And again, you choose your battle. If you're in an area where you've got 10 people that are all slobs and you're the only neat person there, you're going to fight a losing battle. Either establish your space someplace where you can keep the space clean or withdraw. But the point is, whenever you clear yourself, the space, or whatever it is you're doing, there is always, always, always going to be somebody who sees the clear energy and either goes for the energy or goes to be able to drop their tension, their stuff on the space to clean themselves because they don't know how to any other way. Now, this also brings me to another situation.
Let's hold for a moment.
Okay. In the same vein of people dumping stuff where you're at, there are people that don't know how to clear. And these people will always be attracted to the people that have clean, clear energy. In order to, it's kind of like a horse rubbing up against the fence to get some kind of parasite off. That's what they're going to do. You're going to find that as you clear yourself, there are going to be people that come up to you, that rub against you, that get in your face, that get in your space, because somehow your energy is cleaner, clearer, lighter, and the principle of the glass being full or empty, where they equalize, physics is going to work. And what's going to happen is you're going to lose the energy.
And if you imagine yourself as being that pane of glass, in order for you to clearly pick up psychic vibration, to be a channel, to be a medium, you've got to be as clear as possible. So you're forever rubbing those fingerprints off of that glass. And it's constant. It will not end. And the clearer you make yourself, the higher you raise your consciousness, the more healing work you do, the more conscious you become the more people you're going to attract who are going to use you as the clean step and wipe their feet. Mm-hmm. And that is not, I'm not saying that, and John's not saying that, to make you feel victimized.
It's just the way it is.
It's just a law of physics, and you need to accept it and accept the responsibility to keep yourself clear.
Water seeks its own level.
So, a lot of salt baths, mm-hmm. swimming in the ocean, mm-hmm. sitting under a tree, mm-hmm. lying on the ground, calling in your watchtowers, using your or your archangels, using your energy balloon, using your pluses and minuses to clear your energy field.
I put salt under my sheet.
Good.
Good idea.
It grounds you out.
Yeah. Putting salt under the sheet.
Okay. Occasionally,
salt, it pickles you.
Turn the mattress or flip the mattress.
Okay.
And you do that maybe, I do it every quarter year.
Okay.
Just like you change mm-hmm. the different quarters of the day.
I can turn the mattress too.
Exactly.
Actually,
exactly.
Turning the mattress is something you're supposed to be doing anyway, yeah.
right?
Because your mattress is new. Mm-hmm. But when you turn your mattress, don't just flip it, you know, front to back. Flip it head to foot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Spring cleaning is literally clearing. Mm-hmm.
And when you go swimming, folks, put your head under the water. When you take a shower, wash your hair. Because in this world that we live in, our thoughts tend to be very chaotic.
It all goes to the head.
Yeah. Whether you're picking up other people's emotional or mental waste, that chaos mostly is going to focus around your head.
Mm-hmm. Because where do thoughts emanate? Where is the energy going to attract?
Head rubs.
Wonderful therapy.
Great therapy.
What else can you do? Well, you can raise the energy to a focus and overpower the external influences. Like we were saying before, emanates so much that whatever is out there does not have the strength to penetrate, the strength of your emanation.
I want to share something else too. This is one of my major issues. Time. I'm always complaining about time. Time is very important. Those of you who are in our group here who are anything like me have a tendency to overplan your lives. And if you're overplanning your life, you are not giving yourself the time required to meditate, to have your own space, to know who you are, to be in your own energy field, and you lose yourself into everything else around you. And if you do that, you can't do what John's telling you mm-hmm. should be doing.
And that's basically a dimension of respect for yourself. Because if you don't take care of yourself, certainly no one else is going to do it for you. Unless it's something they want from you. Yes?
If you are in that environment where you are attracted, you know, everybody's stomping you, mm-hmm. new space, whatever, you know. And then you do say that you need to clean yourself
right.
completely, all the time, 24 hours, because it doesn't stop, you know. I mean, I'm saying that from
right.
experience.
Yeah.
Just like getting
it doesn't, you're right, it doesn't
and
stop.
People just come into my house, relatives. I have my own, just want to tell
okay.
you real quick, I have my own space where I meditate, which is a room, and I do healing. But still, even that, they throw something there. They use either my table or they throw a satellite phone there because there's a window there. It's just almost unbearable.
Okay, I wanted to answer that question. I'm sorry I interrupted
no,
you before
okay.
you were finished, but I was already at your answer. The very best way of being of constantly clearing is to not allow it to affect you to begin with.
That's the most important key.
So imagine it.
Don't react.
I must be channeling this because I'm about to give you a one of those things I can never come up with that John always does, that analogy.
Right.
But think of, you know, car windshields. They came out with that wonderful new spray that rain doesn't leave marks. It just runs off. Well, imagine mm-hmm. yourself putting that spray on you, a Teflon coating. And guess what? You're not going to react emotionally anything anybody around you does that's negative because you have Teflon spray and it runs off.
Non-stick.
Okay.
We'll just call you Teflon Man.
Okay.
The Teflon Don.
You have to not buy in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. Don't buy in. And if you don't buy in, you never get the fingerprint on your clean pane of glass to begin with.
Become the invisible man. Let it pass right through you.
Well, in the same note, I find myself not buying in and find the ones who always dumped has slowly stopped calling.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I'm not the dumpster anymore. You can't.
Good for you.
I have an example I want to share from a recent experience in my own life that you folks will relate to. Ron and I went to a restaurant. In the middle of the restaurant, at the biggest round table she could find, was a woman with her two little babies. And of course, we got to sit right next to them. But this was a typical scenario of a woman who uses her children to gather attention for herself. And she made a very good play of keeping them quiet and not being able to, while the kids interacted and screamed and disturbed the entire restaurant. Now, I don't have children. In my paradigm, a child screaming is supposed to be irritable, agonizing, the parents not doing their job. So all I have to do is to have this child screaming at the next table and the mother not able to cope with it, and I'm already buying in because of my preconceived expectation of how it's supposed to be. And I'm sitting there across from Ron saying, I hate that kid. And Ron is sitting there very calmly eating and totally ignoring the kid. Well, you know, Mom's making an effort, okay? It's not in his paradigm. Do you see the difference? He didn't buy in. So because I was buying in, I'm losing my cool.
And he's adding energy to the intensity of the kids.
Oh, and the mother and the kid are just loving it. Because that's what they were doing it for.
She became the gas station.
And so Ron's sitting there talking to me and saying, don't worry about it, they're going to leave in a minute. And what he did is exactly the opposite. A total non-reaction. The more antagonistic they became, the more relaxed he became. The poor waiter was practically knocking coffee cups over and going into a frenzy to contribute the panic to the whole restaurant. The waiter gets to our table and Ron says, don't worry about it. No big deal. They'll be gone in a minute. Makes your day, doesn't it? Part of the job. And all of a sudden the waiter just dropped the tension. Mm-hmm. And an amazing thing happened. When the waiter stopped buying into it and I stopped buying into it, and the restaurant started to get quieter, the lady picked up and left. It wasn't working anymore. Okay?
Good example. There's another dynamic that is working within that. You'll find that if you attempt to calm yourself amidst chaos, if you're a little bit chaotic yourself, and there's chaos outside, it is much, much harder. But as you're able to create the distance where you become calmer and the chaos of that vibration becomes further away, it becomes easier to be calmer and you find yourself further and further away. Mm-hmm. It almost like it adds to itself, the power that you get to force yourself or to allow yourself to be calm. It's like the more distance you create, the easier it becomes.
And if you remember, here we go back to physics. If you remember all the way back to your P1, when we were talking about the method that energy uses to move from one person to another, it has to have a similar connection on either pattern, on either person, or it literally cannot travel through that cell wall, or that wall of the aura, to get from one person to another. The reason I was susceptible to the screaming child is because I've been trained to react to screaming children in this negative manner.
She set up the telephone line.
I set up a telephone line. I became the battery by setting up the telephone line. So it's very important for each one of you to become aware of what your hot buttons are and make them cold buttons. Mm. You have to learn what they are and you have to seal those entrances.
Let's also go back to something you were talking to before. Those buttons, family has them. And if you're going to do your work on spirit communication with your family or in any way show them something different about yourself and creative, it triggers their insecurity buttons, and now they're looking for the buttons in you that snap you back to the personality you used to be.
One other thing that to consider, in the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? They call these things receptor points.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think the important thing for us to realize is that we do have a choice as to what receptor points we want to be making available, mm-hmm. and what ones we don't. And if you make the receptor points to your guides available,
mm-hmm.
and the receptor points to people who are projecting positive energy available, but close off the receptor points to the negativity, what a changed you we would have.
Also an understanding for you of the dynamics of how to reverse the tendency to react. In a physical sense, if you will imagine a freight train, very heavy freight train moving at 60 miles an hour, how much energy is it going to take to stop that freight train? Initially, a tremendous amount of energy to slow it down to a stop. And then, when you turn it around the other way, it's going to take a tremendous amount of energy to get it going back up to 60 miles an hour in a different direction. Same thing with your hot buttons, with your patterns. Initially, it's going to take a lot of energy to overcome your own tendency to react. But as you gain, little by little, you chop wood, carry water, look at one tree in the forest at a time, and do a little bit at a time, it diminishes the amount of energy and speed that freight train has. And you eventually get to the point of equalization, you turn it around the other way, and now you become a generator relative to those buttons that everybody had before. Now you can turn it around, because now that you are the freight train moving in the opposite direction under your own steam, when they push the buttons, you can take that energy, turn it around, and make them answer or react to you, which hopefully is the positive venue in teaching them to let go of that kind of use. Okay? Now, that is a function of clearing. Because what are you doing? You're turning the energy around, you're making it act in a positive, clean, grounded, refined energy. What are you doing? You're expanding your vibration, you're connecting to your channel, and in not allowing yourself to react, and inducing other people to not react, you are allowing them to start build that same sense of self and make the connection automatically.
Mm-hmm. So, because I do this with my mother is one in this prayer chat room thing, you know, for different, like when the woman here, her husband was pulling the life support that was brain dead and stuff, there was a lot of just discussion that she was arguing with everybody. And I kept saying, why are you putting so much energy into that argument? You're not going to change these people's minds. They're going to, you know, let that go. But she just obsessed strongly about it.
A point here that you can play, I think of it as, having done Tai Chi for many years like John, I think of this as playing Tai Chi with people's minds. If in that situation, I'm in this chat room, talking about whether or not it's correct to pull this person off life support or not. And I offer a statement which states my belief. And immediately everybody opposes that. If I continue to argue my point, I strengthen their resistance, don't
mm-hmm.
I? However, if I say absolutely nothing, I just don't answer anything. And I just watched that chat. Before long, 3/4 of the people in that chat room will now be arguing my former position.
If you're a boxer and somebody's striking at you, and you every time they strike at you, you move out of the way, eventually they run out of energy.
Not only that, but they change sides and start arguing for you. It's a principle of Tai Chi.
That is the principle of Tai Chi. You'd meet nothing with resistance.
Stand up for a moment.
Yeah, I want to demonstrate that, because this is very, very important if you want to teach people or if you want to get people to change their point of view. Okay, if I'm pushing against John, okay, and John resists me, I just increase my energy, he increases his.
And we go nowhere.
We go nowhere.
all that's happened is now I'm just exerting more pressure, he's exerting more pressure. Nobody got anywhere. We still oppose one another. On the other hand, if I start pushing, guess what? I just came into his point of view. I changed places with him.
I now understand exactly
what he was trying to tell me. Remember that. Offer your point of view if there's resistance, and then stop arguing. You got it? If you really want to achieve results. On the other hand, if you're into the argument and it's fun and it's getting energy, keep arguing. You know, that's your prerogative. But if you really want to get someone to listen, don't argue. State.
Had a conversation like that this past week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always been the type, never argue religion because everybody has their beliefs. And it's like, I'm a very spiritual person. I'm not going to argue it with you. You have your beliefs and that's great.
Right.
And then I have found through the years, Jewish, Pentecostal, whatever the belief is, Jehovah's Witnesses, I don't agree with a lot of it, but I'm not going to argue it. But they show all my friends. We all still get along. We all accept this is your belief, this is your belief.
And what's happening is by not resisting, you're helping other people who might have been closed-minded to become open-minded so that they still have their beliefs, but they're now willing to accept that yours might be okay too.
And if they're not of that venue, they'll find somebody else to fight with.
Exactly.
That's very true. Some have ventured that way. But I honestly say most have been a positive, even with this class, because a lot of my Christian friends, it's like, no, you can't do that. Maybe you need to do a little bit more praying to God. And I've had a lot of all the difference. But now that I didn't argue it and said, I'm just going to do this for my inner self. I want to, be able to focus in on my inner self and calm myself because of the anxiety I was.
You don't need to see the light. You're in the light.
Right.
Now, everybody that was against it, that I still, that still communicate with, listen and ask questions about, how was your weekend? They would normally would have not asked, but how was your weekend?
Now they'll open up to it. Good.
And they're really doing really well with it.
People respect other people that are not contentious.